You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Liturgy. I am Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications.
And this is Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship.
And we are here this morning on the fourth Wednesday of every month, and we talk about all things liturgical. We break open all times and seasons, all of the rites,
sacraments,
and we are here this morning with a special guest from Liturgy Training Publications, Mary Fox. Good morning.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Todd and Danielle.
Well, we are grateful that you are here with us today to talk about the Roman Missal. We've been talking for the last several shows about the new translation of the Mass text.
And oh my gosh, the end of last year, the fall we started.
Yeah, exactly.
And all of these are actually podcast available on both the websites of the Office for Divine Worship and the Liturgy Training Publications website, as well as the Archdiocesan website. So if you missed any and you wanna do a review of what we've covered in regard to the Roman Missal, they're all there.
Mm-hmm. And we've kind of gone through, kind of in a general sense, of exactly what is the Roman Missal and what are we talking about when we're talking about a new translation of the Roman Missal. And we've done so to kind of set a context for why this is coming. And then we've been moving through each part of the Mass, and we began with the introductory rites. And I think we had two shows on the introductory rites. I think we did almost a whole show on the Gloria,
right, just
for example.
Exactly.
And then we were moving into the Liturgy of the Word. And so the last time we had our show, we had finished up talking about the profession of faith, or the Nicene Creed. And so today we're going to move into the Liturgy of the Eucharist.
Maybe just before doing that, for anyone who may have missed some of the other shows, to kind of touch base with Mary here as well from LTP, just to give a real brief background for anyone who's just catching up with us now, the difference between the English translation and the third edition. And Danielle, in the workshops that we've been doing around the Archdiocese for parish staffs and musicians and such, more and more I'm just realizing how key that is,
mm-hmm.
that the need to make the distinction that this is an English translation of the third edition of
right.
the Missal. Two separate things.
Right.
In the year 2000, we know John Paul II issued a third edition of mm-hmm. the Roman Missal. And for the last 10 years plus, maybe, we've been working on the translation.
Right, exactly. And you know, the promulgation of that Latin third edition was really, in a sense, a very practical reason. It felt
yeah.
a practical need. And, you know, he canonized many saints, and orders of prayer were needed for those days. And so it was revised and promulgated for a third edition. And then in 2001, we had the promulgation of the document Liturgium Authenticum, which changed the methodology that translators use to translate the Latin text into English. And as we know, all of our prayer texts are originally in Latin. We are the Latin Rite Church.
Right. It's probably more accurate to think of it in terms of this. It's the translation that's new. It's not the text.
Right.
It's not the prayer texts.
Right.
They are the essentially the texts that came out of the Second Vatican Council.
Right, exactly. And you know, I think the Gloria is a really good example of this. And this is actually one of my favorite parts of the new translation.
Mine too.
There's this stanza that, I mean, in terms of English, you might say a hell stanza has been added. It's that we praise you, we bless you, we glorify you. But that is in the Latin text, the Laudamus Te, Benedictamus Te. It's the Latin text. It's our prayer. And now it's just more evident of what the full text is with this new translation.
Yeah, that's a great example. And with your spirit, which we've mm-hmm. talked about, is another example. Et cum spiritu tuo has always been the response in Latin. And when I say always, I mean always. I mean, mm-hmm. that dates back to the second century
mm-hmm.
as a liturgical response. It's always been there. It's actually scripture. You know,
right.
it's Paul's greetings
right.
that we inserted into the liturgy,
right.
And it's always been there. It just was translated differently.
And aside from being, you know, a more literal translation of the Latin text, I think this new translation really seeks to highlight the scriptural allusions to our prayers. And we're going to see that more clearly, like you just said. And as we go through the liturgy of the Eucharist, you'll see that too with the Behold the Lamb of God and the Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof and so forth. It's more evident
the Eucharistic
scriptural
prayers.
Background.
That's another thing that we've been pointing out a lot in these workshops. I mean, when Danielle and Mary both, when you look at them, I mean, our texts are literally filled with scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, the patristics, when they used to write, and mm-hmm. you see this in the Liturgy of the Hours, you know, they just literally wrote using scripture. They
right.
would insert scripture into their homilies
right.
and into their writings without quotes.
Right.
You know, they wouldn't introduce it as St. John's Gospel says. Mm-hmm. No, they just literally, that idea that some people call scripture speak,
mm-hmm.
our liturgies are like that.
Yeah.
The texts are just filled with images and quotes from scripture.
We start the liturgy with the very words of scripture, the Lord be with you.
Even before that, Matthew.
Right.
Go out and baptize.
In the name of the Father,
yep.
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's how we begin and end.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they've always been there, and they've been evident in the current translation, just not as obvious as in the translation of the third edition.
And, you know, with your workshops and what we've been doing at LTP, I think we've really been trying to prepare people for the implementation of this. And it's a really good opportunity for liturgical catechesis as a whole.
Yeah.
Because even just understanding the words in the broader sense of liturgy makes us come away with a more profound understanding of what we do every week.
So, and Mary, the project you were talking about before we started is geared exactly toward that, eh?
We're working on the Order of Mass Study Edition with Michael Jonkas, and he is going to. This will help priests so much. He explains which words to emphasize in each of the prayers throughout the Mass. He says, you know, when to recite something as though it's a litany, when to understand that phrase is parenthetical. And so the priest can proclaim the prayers so much better. And he gives background and references to patristics, to the scripture throughout the Mass, so that it will make this Mass so much more prayerful when priests look at this.
Well, maybe just to help the listeners a little bit, who's Michael Jonkas?
Yes.
I know who he is. Tell the listeners who he is.
He is a professor at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, and also teaches at St. John's in Collegeville, Minnesota. He is a composer. Most people know on Eagle's Wings, and he's composed many psalms and many other hymns.
Yeah, Michael works with OCP, World Library, GIA. So any Catholic hymnal that you have, there's a Michael Jonkas setting of a psalm or a hymn in that book. So he's a really well-known scholar, musician. He's a
liturgist.
Brilliant man.
Michael's a priest of the Archdiocese of Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He actually came to Chicago and led a day on the Roman Missal for all of the priests in
right.
the Archdiocese of Chicago.
One of the great things about this book that Mary's talking about is if you're familiar with LTP resources, specifically Workbook for Lectors, it's set up just like Workbook for Lectors. So Workbook has the text of the scripture with marginal notes. This has the full text of the Order of Mass with marginal notes. So like Mary's saying, with all of the words to emphasize, those are on the left margin sides, and at the bottom is the running commentary highlighting a lot of the theology about those texts as well. So there's a practical need, and then there's also an academic formational need that's filling.
That sounds like an excellent resource. Mary, is that for the whole missal?
That will be for the Order of Mass now, and Father Dan Merz is doing the Proper of Time, the same type of book with on the left margin notes about words to emphasize and a pastoral commentary with the collects, the prayer over the offering, the prayer after communion.
There's also some prefaces in that. One of the interesting things about this new missal is, unlike the sacramentary that we've been using, all of the prefaces were contained in one area, but now they're threaded throughout the missal, which actually makes it more convenient for the pastor. So, for example, the third Sunday of Lent, we all know if the scrutinies are being done, you do the readings for year A, and there's also a corresponding preface to that.
Right.
That's right there on the third Sunday of Lent, which is in the proper of time, which used to be called the proper of seasons. That book that she's working on with Father Dan Merz, who's going to be in the Bishop's Office of Liturgy, is talking about just those prayers in that section of the Missal.
Maybe just for the listeners, the proper of time, or even the proper of seasons, as it's called now, that's the section of the Missal that gives the seasonal prayer. So that's where you'll see the opening prayer and such for the season of Lent,
mm-hmm.
or the season of Easter,
mm-hmm.
huh?
Mm-hmm.
And the term liturgical time and
it's actually with the revised germ, which used to use the phrase liturgical season, has been changed to liturgical time. And the germ is an acronym or abbreviation for what we call the general instruction of the Roman Missal, which is the introductory document for that ritual book.
Yeah. Well, Mary, this resource, the study edition, again, sounds like an excellent project. Who is it for?
It's for priests, and probably liturgists also would find a benefit to it, and liturgy committees, but mainly it's for priests so that they can go through it. And sometimes people have talked about how the way the prayers are constructed, they're very long sentences with many clauses, and when a priest looks at Father Jonkas's proclamation tips, they will understand how to read that prayer and proclaim it in a way that all will feel that mm-hmm. it's more prayerful.
They know where to breathe better, where to take a break, so that the subjects and verbs are you know, make sense, and that it's more proclaimable. It's really a great resource that she's working
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I mean, I would want that on my shelf.
Yeah, and it's got the chants in it as well, and there will be some musical notes as well on emphasis and diction and dynamics on how to chant it effectively as well as speaking. Because as we know, there's a lot more chant that's included in this missal mm-hmm. than has been before.
Yeah. So in a sense, it literally takes the text, and it does mm-hmm. kind of what we're doing here, breaking it open,
exactly.
but in much greater detail.
Exactly. And it'll follow the layout of the Roman Missal. So the design of those pages that you'll be using actually for Mass will match the layout of this book. So just like Workbook for Lectors, that what you see on that page is what you're going to see in the lectionary. What you see on the pages of this book is going to match the Roman Missal that they're using for Mass.
Excellent. When does this when is this due to be out?
Probably by June.
That's what we'll shoot for. Mm-hmm. Let's pick it up there when we come back. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned for more Focus on the Liturgy.
The annual Catholic Appeal is underway in parishes across the Archdiocese of Chicago. Your gift to the annual appeal helps sustain Catholic schools, religious education, ministerial formation, and initiatives for life, peace, and justice.
And the appeal serves people worldwide whose lives are devastated by natural disasters, illness, and war.
All funds raised are carefully spent to do God's work. Please make a pledge to the 2011 annual Catholic Appeal.
Your generosity will make a difference in the lives of many.
Join the movement to run the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. As a member of Team Catholic Charities, you'll be running to help our neighbors in need of food, clothing, and shelter, necessities for everyday survival. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us online at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon. We'll see you at the finish line.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
The faith home of more than 2 million Catholics. During the next half hour, we'll hear about the strategic pastoral plan, a blueprint for evangelization. And we'll talk with Cardinal Francis George about the virtue of love and the key role it plays in the lives of Catholics every day.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. This is Todd Williamson from the Office for Worship.
And I'm Danielle Nutt from Liturgy Training Publications, and we are with Mary Fox from Liturgy Training Publications. Mary is an editor with me, and we're glad to have you with us this morning.
We were talking about the project that Mary's working on, Danielle. This is just an example of what this study edition has to offer. It's Eucharistic Prayer 2.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to give us an example of just so that our listeners have an idea of when we're talking about that? It has proclamation tips and also some commentary. Why don't you just give us an example from the manuscript that you're working on?
So Father Jonkas helps the priest with the Eucharistic prayer in how to proclaim it. And so in Eucharistic Prayer 2, it reads, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Father most holy, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your word, through whom you made all things, whom you sent as your Savior and Redeemer, incarnate by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin. So Father Jonkas says to emphasize the words to read your beloved Son, your word, our Savior and Redeemer, as though they're invocations in the litany. So it makes it a little bit easier to proclaim it when you have these tips.
So in terms of how the priest can pray that prayer publicly,
mm-hmm.
excellent
mm-hmm.
aid for them.
And again, that'll be out in probably around June. So we'll be looking for it. We're sending out a lot of Roman Missal catalogs. You're probably actually will be getting one within the next couple days.
Any and all listeners. And if you don't,
well,
call
actually,
and you can
some
get
exciting
one.
News to talk about is, you know, LTP now can officially say that we are publishing the Roman
yep.
Missal. The United States bishops have given us guidelines of when we can market the book and when we can actually sell it. And so all of the publishers, there's 7 publishers that are publishing the Missal, Catholic Book Publishing, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Magnificat doing
mm-hmm.
one, Liturgical Press, Midwest Theological Forum, World Library Publications, and LTP. So February 1st, all publishers were allowed to announce officially that we're publishing the Missal. And if you go to our website, www.revisedromanmissal.org, you can actually see a photograph of the Missal. We have a sample book. Todd's laughing at me because I'm very smiley right now because I'm so excited about this book.
And I've seen the book.
And
it's beautiful.
I have to say, our designer, it was designed by Anna Manhart, who's on staff at LTP, and she is just a brilliant, brilliant designer and has, I think, really embraced Catholic tradition with this cover design, and
yeah.
it's actually based on an 11th century ivory cut book of the Gospels. It's the image of the cross with a Cairo. So if you go to our website, revisedromanmissal.org, you can see photographs. We received a sample book from our printer, so the tabs are in place, the ribbons are in place, and you can see it actually on the altar. It was done at Madonna della Strada at Loyola. So there is our photographs. Now, the bishops have also said that the books can't ship until October 1st.
Right.
So all publishers can do pre-orders right now, but no publisher is able to ship them until October. And then again, those texts would be implemented for use on November 27th, 2011. Which is the first Sunday of Advent.
Right, and none of the texts can be used until then.
Yes.
And speaking of the texts, even Mary, the example you just gave of this great resource that's coming from LTP, you took that example from the preface itself, which is at the very beginning of the Liturgy of the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said at the beginning, Danielle, that's where we're going to go today in terms of looking at the texts and continue to break them open for our listeners?
Mm-hmm. Well, this part of the Mass, it's the second of the two main parts of the Mass and parallels the Liturgy of the Word. And the Liturgy of the Eucharist begins with the preparation of the gifts, and those gifts of bread and wine are brought forward, the collection takes place, the offertory chant is sung, mm-hmm. and then the gifts are given to the priest, who takes them to the altar, and then these two prayers are said over the gifts. It's an invitation to prayer. In the Latin, it then continues with the Latin, which is called the Orate Fratres, the Pray Brethren. But these prayers are what precedes the Pray Brethren.
Sometimes we hear them, particularly if there's no music, like most often I think at
weekday masses.
On Sunday masses in most parishes, the hymn for the preparation of the altar and gifts has already begun, so we don't hear them, but they really are beautiful.
They're beautiful prayers. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life.
Now, not an awful lot different than what we have right now. However, one of the things, and Danielle, we were even talking about this before the show, one of the things that it does is it really emphasizes, for through your goodness, addressed to God, we have received the bread that we offer you. Mm-hmm. We hear much more directly how these gifts that we're offering, this bread and the wine, Lord, you first gave to us. Mm-hmm. These are your gifts that we offer back to you.
It's a sacramental worldview.
Yeah, it is. Excellent. Hey, and let's pick up on there.
Every now and then I make him happy. I'm kidding.
We'll pick it up there when we come back. Stay with us for more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Catholics in Chicago may soon claim a new saint, Father Augustus Toten, the first African-American priest to minister in Chicago. Now you can learn more about this humble man and his life of holiness, perseverance, and service in the face of racism and poverty. A film on the life of Father Toten will be shown on Tuesday, March 1st at 4 p.m. at the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. The film is part of a week-long celebration of the Augustus Toten Pastoral Ministry Program at CTU, which prepares Black Catholics for professional ministry in Chicago. There is no cost to attend the screening. Go to www.ctu.edu for details. That's www.ctu.edu to learn more about the screening of the film on Father Augustus Toten.
It's time to sign up for Parish Leadership Day, Saturday, February 26th at Maria High School. There will be inspirational talks and 100 workshops in English, Spanish, and Polish. Once again, there will be a lively and entertaining question and answer luncheon visit with Cardinal Francis George.
I invite you to join me at Parish Leadership Day. This will be a time for education, for fellowship, and encouragement. We will pray and learn together, and as always, I look forward to conversing with you, answering your insightful questions during our luncheon session. Above all, I thank you for your generosity in serving Christ in His church.
Parish Leadership Day is a great event for anyone who wants to be more active in their parish. For details, contact your parish or go to www.archchicago.org or call 312-534-8364. That's 312-534-8364. Hope to see you Saturday, February 26th at Parish Leadership Day.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy. Good morning. It's 9:50 a.m. on Relevant Radio. I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications.
And I'm Todd Williamson.
And we're here with Mary Fox.
Right before that break, we were talking about the we've gone looking at the liturgy of the Eucharist, and we had just looked at the prayers over the gifts, the prayers that the priest prays over the bread, and then again over the wine once it's offered. And Danielle, you had a great comment. You said these prayers really kind of they reveal the sacramental worldview that we have.
Absolutely, and one of the things that you know, I love the liturgy, and the liturgy is never separated from life. And what we are doing day in and day out, Sunday to Sunday, is it's a revelation to us that it's the ordinary that becomes extraordinary, and that God is present to us in all things. And He gives us the things that we then offer to unify our sacrifice with the one sacrifice of Christ.
Yeah, that idea that God is in the world. God, mm-hmm. God, you know, all has been sanctified mm-hmm. by the incarnation, mm-hmm. And that all in many ways all is. Can be sacrament, mm-hmm. sacramental.
Well, you know, the word sacrifice itself, the Latin, the sacrificare, means to make holy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, think of it in this context of, you know, for you through your goodness, we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life. Yeah. That's to make holy, to bring all of these things that God has given us. That is our sacrificare. Yep. That is what we are doing to make holy, or that God will make holy.
Yeah. And the response, which does not change, but even that response, you know, that the people make, blessed be God mm-hmm. forever. In the face of what God does for us, all we can do is praise. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, blessed be God forever. We bless God. Mm-hmm. We praise God for the good things
yes.
that God has done.
You're reminding me of that Gloria text
yep.
that I love so
yep,
much.
Exactly.
We glorify you. We praise you. We adore you. Yes, it is all connected. And then we continue, and the priest will then take the chalice, and he holds it slightly raised above the altar with both hands, and he will say, blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you. Fruit of the vine and work of human hands, it will become our spiritual drink. So there's a parallel between the two prayers. It's bread and wine, and you can see that the wording is very much the same between the two.
Right.
And again, we will respond.
Blessed be God forever. Mm-hmm. There are some prayers that the priest says quietly, and then we move into a very familiar dialogue, the preface dialogue.
Just before we get into the preface dialogue, there's the orate fratres, and at this
Thank
time,
you, yep.
oh, no problem. At this time, it's the pray brethren or pray brothers and sisters, and everybody stands at this point, and pray brothers and sisters that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father, and the people rise and reply.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of His name, for our good and the good of all His holy church.
So that sacrificial theology is kind of flowing throughout this, and you can see that, you know, the priest is saying that my sacrifice and yours.
Yeah.
So it's ours together, unified again with the one sacrifice of Christ.
I've talked about this a number of times. We've gone to this a number of times. Paragraph 48 of the Constitution, where the Church says that when we are at the Eucharist, when we are in the midst of that celebration, we should not be there as strangers or mere spectators. But and then it goes on to kind of enumerate what it is that the faithful should do and should derive from this celebration, mm-hmm. that they should be nourished at the Lord's by the Lord's word, that they should be nourished by the Lord's body and blood, mm-hmm. that they should offer the Immaculate Victim, not just at the hands of the priest, but along with him,
mm-hmm.
and they should learn to offer themselves. That idea that the liturgical body, the liturgical assembly, the body of Christ, head and members, makes
mm-hmm.
this offering.
Mm-hmm. You know, that reminds me of, there's a line in the current translation, and I apologize to the listeners, I'm not sure how it's being translated, but that my life will be a sacrifice of praise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear that here in mm-hmm. in the Pray Brothers and Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
May that our sacrifice, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God.
Mm-hmm.
The liturgical assembly does this together.
Yes.
Then we move on to the preface dialogue. And again, a familiar dialogue. We've talked a little bit about that exchange mm-hmm. already. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
Minor changes in the beginning and the ending exchange. That takes us into the preface. You know, every Mass has a preface before the Eucharistic prayer. The role of the preface mm-hmm. is kind of situate the celebration that's taking place. So the prefaces might be seasonal or they might be pertinent to the feast or the saint that's being memorialized that day.
Right. And, you know, the segue between the preface dialogue and the actual preface, it is more of a dialogue now with this new translation, and it flows better because of the preceding words of translating "it is right and just." What the priest is going to come in with the preface affirms that we are saying it is right and just. So, for example, I'm going to read to you preface 5 of the Sundays in Ordinary Time. This is what we've often called the creation preface. And so the assembly has just said, "It is right and just." And then the priest continues, "It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God." So if this is a dialogue between the priest and the assembly, and so this really exemplifies that, I think, a little bit more than we have had in the past, that it is truly going from the assembly to the priest and back and forth. So it is right and just, and then it is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation.
It's a seamless prayer. Mm-hmm. Let's pick up on there when we come back. So stay with us for more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
Catholic Charities West Region invites you to its annual St. Patrick's Day party Thursday, March 10th from 6:30 to 9:30. Enjoy hearty Irish fare and entertainment by the McNulty Dancers, Shannon Rovers, and Tributosaurus Trio at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn. Tickets are $50 in advance or $60 after March 1st. All proceeds benefit Catholic Charities Transitional Housing Program. For tickets or information, call 708-329-4022 or visit catholiccharities.net/stpats.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy, 950 AM, Relevant Radio. I'm here with Todd Williamson and Mary Fox, and again, my name is Danielle Nutt from Liturgy Training Publications. And before the break, we were talking about the preface dialogue and moving into the preface, and you heard a little bit of preface 5 of the Sundays in Ordinary Time, so I'm just going to continue to recite that preface in entirety. So it begins, It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you laid the foundations of the world and have arranged the changing of times and seasons. You formed man in your own image and set humanity over the whole world in all its wonder to rule in your name over all you have made and forever praise you in your mighty works through Christ our Lord. And so with all the angels, we praise you as in joyful celebration we acclaim. And then, of course, we go into the holy, holy, holy. Now, on the break, Mary Fox, who is here with us, and as she was mentioning earlier, she's working on a study edition of the Order of Mass that's being written by Michael Jonkis. And in that study edition, it includes all of the prefaces, and she's brought up part of the manuscript for the commentary on this this preface, which he writes beautifully about the salvation history that's revealed in this text. So, Mary, why don't you read us a little bit of Father Michael's text.
So Father Michael writes, Preface 5 of the Sundays of Ordinary Time alludes to the Yahweh's creation narrative in Genesis. This short text includes the entire account of creation. And he explains that, for you laid the foundation of the world and have arranged the changing of times and seasons. These two lines take us to the first lines of Genesis, in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, through to the end of the first chapter. The line, you formed man in your own image, recalls, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. The last of creation, humankind, is given dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the cattle, and over all the wild animals and all the creatures that crawl on the ground. The prayer makes evident, as it states, God set humanity over the whole world in all its wonder to rule in your name over all you have made.
See, that's another example of that principle, that characteristic of the English translation of the third edition that I am so excited about. The biblical allusions and the biblical references are more pronounced. Yeah. They've always been there.
Yeah.
We have them in the current test. They're more obvious in this
one. Yeah, it is so strong in this preface.
And the thing is, and this is what's important for leadership in parishes, to do what Father Michael Jonkis is doing in this resource that LTP is working on, to break these texts open and to help us make these connections.
You know, the prefaces are always about salvation history. And depending on the time of the year or the particular preface, it may focus on a particular aspect of salvation history. And this one, obviously, as Mary was reading from Michael Jonkis, you know, this is about creation and how God created all of the world and sanctified the world. And so what we were talking before with the blessed are you, Lord
life.
God of all creation, this all kind of comes full circle. And what we do every day, every Sunday, and in celebrating the Eucharist, we are celebrating a foretaste of that heavenly banquet. And in the fulfillment of salvation in that heavenly banquet, through Christ, is restoring us back to the Garden of Eden before the fall.
Now, you couple that in the prefaces with the idea that exactly, that all of the prefaces touch on that, in a sense, that mystery of our faith, that part of our tenet of what we believe. But then the preface moves us to give thanks for that. That's the other role of the preface, is it leads us into the great prayer of praise and thanks. You know, it situates it in the sense of the preface. I guess another way of saying it is this: the preface tells us the reasons why we have to give God thanks and praise in the Eucharistic prayer that follows.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's all tied up in that creation.
Right.
Theology.
And I'm struck with something right now, actually, with this particular preface and in going back to the creation and how through Christ we are restored back to the Garden of Eden, and what we're doing is that foretaste of the heavenly banquet. But think of what the preface segues into, is the holy, holy, holy. And that there's always that, you know, I'm a cantor, so we'll talk that cue for the holy, holy for musicians is and with all the angels and saints, which goes into the holy, holy. And Todd is motioning me that we're going into a break, so we will pick up on that when we come back.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the director of the Catholic Charities Junior Board, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute, 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Help us raise dollars for our veterans living at Cook's Manor. A Winter's Night fundraiser will take place on February 23rd. At 5 o'clock p.m., we will meet for drinks at Elephant and Castle on Wabash and then head to Millennium Park for ice skating. Join us at our Faith Committee meeting on March 2nd and help us plan upcoming speakers in the series Faith in the Real World, which premiered in February and will feature one speaker every month until June. The Social Committee also meets in March on the 14th to plan upcoming social fundraising events. Volunteer to spend some time with the senior citizens at Ozanam Village on Sunday, March 6th. Come out for emergency assistance food packing on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. or join us for our Read to Me program that reads to kids in one of our shelters every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our junior board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
This Lenten season, join millions of Catholics throughout the U.S. in a 30-year tradition within the Catholic Church. Catholic Relief Services' Operation Rice Bowl program. Lent isn't just about giving something up, it's also about doing something positive. Operation Rice Bowl provides a way to embrace traditional themes of Lent through praying with others, fasting, and giving alms while learning about our global community. Celebrate the holy season of Lent by becoming a part of the Operation Rice Bowl community today. Visit www.crs.org to learn more.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. This is Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And we're here with Mary Fox. And we were just talking about the preface for the Eucharistic prayer. And even during the break, Danielle, you had ended on a point. But again, just to kind of point out that pattern of the prefaces, like we said, we go from the dialogue, the priest affirms that it is truly right and just to give God thanks and praise. Then that's always followed with giving a concrete example of what God has done for us in salvation history to prompt us to give thanks and praise. And then the priest says, and so we do give thanks and praise. And that leads us into
The holy, holy, holy. And what I was saying is I'm a cantor, and every cantor kind of uses those two lines as kind of the cue for when the holy, holy, holy is coming, because every preface ends with similar text to this, and so with all the angels we praise you, as in joyful celebration we acclaim. And then we go into holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You'll see in that text is really only one little minor change, which is the Lord God of hosts. And that refers to the heavenly armies, so the heavenly hosts in the heavenly banquet. So again, it's that eschatological vision, that foretaste of the heavenly banquet that we are acclaiming our praise with. There's we are never alone in the liturgy. We are always surrounded by the saints and the angels, and this text makes that evident for us.
There are allusions to Scripture. We get this song from the great vision of Isaiah, who saw heaven, you know, one like the ancient one seated on a throne, and around him were the angels with six wings, and they all over and over and over sang, holy, holy, holy. And I think that is important, Danielle, that the note that you make just about that distinction, where for as silly as it may sound, we're not talking about Lord of Hosts. We're not talking about the communion wafer. These are the hosts of angels. These are the principalities, dominion, cherubim, seraphim, angels, archangels, all of them in that heavenly banquet.
And also the scriptural text for this is also Christ's entry into Jerusalem with the palm branches and Hosanna in the highest. So it's leading into his sacrifice, and we are again leading into that sacrifice of the Eucharist. And then we're actually going to be doing Eucharistic Prayer 3 today with the text, which is one of our favorite Eucharistic prayers. And just a note, I think it might be helpful for priests who are listening and other liturgists about the construction of the Missal itself.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to make sure we touched on, how the Eucharistic prayers are set up and how many are, because there is some concern and some confusion around that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's Eucharistic Prayer 1 or the Roman Canon, and 2, 3, and 4 are still in the Missal, just as they always have been, obviously retranslated. There used to be Eucharistic prayers for children. Those are actually not in the Latin text, so they're not going to be in the Roman Missal itself. So they have been taken out from the actual ritual book. The Eucharistic prayers for reconciliation, 1 and 2, are in the Missal. But there's also those lovely Eucharistic prayers for various needs and occasions that up until now, it's been a supplemental book, but those have been placed in the Roman Missal itself. So we'll have Eucharistic prayers 1 through 4, Eucharistic prayers for reconciliation 1 and 2, and then Eucharistic prayers for various needs and occasions 1, 2, 3, and 4.
The thing I think is quite fascinating about the Eucharistic prayer for various needs and occasions, it's really only one prayer. It has four prefaces, and the intercessions that are part of every Eucharistic prayer are different, each one corresponding to that preface. So it's really only one prayer with four different prefaces and some minor alterations within the prayer itself. And it's the most recently approved and promulgated prayer. It was promulgated after the second edition of the Roman Missal was issued, and so that's why it's been in a supplemental form.
They're beautiful prayers.
They are.
They really are.
But so for our purposes, as Danielle notes, we're going to begin, and we're only going to have time to begin it, but we'll pick it up with our next show, but Eucharistic Prayer 3.
Okay, so the Holy, Holy concludes, and then the priest continues, "You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name." I love this text.
I do too.
This again, we have a very creation-themed show today,
but it just happens that way.
That theology is flowing through this, and as you can see, that all you have created has been gathered together and rightly gives you praise. But one of the lines that I love in this is that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name, and in the text before it was from east to west, but now it's picking up more on the scriptural background to this. I think it's Psalm 117
and then Micah.
But I love this, and that all of creation is gathered to give praise.
And all of the Eucharistic prayers after the Holy, Holy, after the Sanctus, they have this common element that they immediately after the Holy, Holy, the prayer actually expounds on how, in what ways God is holy. And as you noted in here in Eucharistic Prayer 3, it's the gift of creation through which the prayer extols God's holiness, huh? Because you have, you are holy because you have done all of this. You have made all of this. And you have sanctified it, as you said earlier.
But then it moves again from, you know, what he has created to give praise to God to then make holy. So again, that sacrifice of making holy. And we hear, therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries.
There's that whole give and take again, that we heard even in the prayer preparatory prayers, the blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. We humbly implore you make holy these gifts we brought for your consecration, these gifts that you have given us.
In Father Michael Jonkas' book, he notes that the priest should notice four things about the text. First, the act of creation is explicitly Trinitarian. Second, creation includes giving life and holiness. Third, the creation and maintenance of the church is part of God's activity. And fourth, part of the church's activity is the ongoing praise of God, as exemplified by the typological reading of Malachi 1, verse 1. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name is great among the nations.
That's a really good point, that Trinitarian aspect too, that we always begin every liturgy, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Eucharistic prayer itself are all structured that way. So there's always that Trinitarian dynamic and that relational aspect between Father, Son, and Spirit that we are then assumed into. And I think that's always evident in the prayers.
One of the common writers for LTP, Father Dennis Malarski, he talks about all the sacraments this way, and I think this is the point that's being made here. He talks about that all of the sacraments sweep us into the life of the Trinity. And Danielle, something that we have talked about here on this show many times, that patristic image of the sacraments, the patristic image of the
perichoresis,
the Trinity, spoke about it as that. The perichoresis, this divine dance that the Trinity is involved in. And this prayer takes us into that same divine dance. Another aspect of this translation of the third edition of the Missal is the Trinitarian components, the Trinitarian nature of of our prayers are more obvious as well.
I think we tend to lose sight of that Trinitarian dynamic of the prayers. We tend to be more Christocentric in our thinking. And I'm happy to see that stronger emphasis on that, because, you know, our life is that divine dance with the Trinity. We're never separated from the Trinitarian aspects of our life and in the whole economy of salvation. It's all three that we're assumed into.
Let's close our show out with this, because then that sets us up for next month to pick up
with the institution
narrative. But more than that, I think this is a key point. We pray, our liturgy, I agree with you. I think sometimes we do forget this Trinitarian aspect. All of our prayer, all of our liturgical prayer, and most definitely the Eucharist, is the prayer that is directed to God the Father through the Son, through Christ, in the Holy Spirit. It is Christ's prayer to the Father in the Spirit, and our prayer is associated with that.
Right.
And so right there is that divine dance between the three persons that we are associated with, assumed into, as it were.
When I was in school, I had a professor, Father Kevin Seasoltz, and he always used to ask us the question, are you Christocentric or are you Trinitarian? And raising that question kind of always made the students kind of step back and think, yeah, you know, we are Trinitarian. That's exactly who we are. That all of our prayers to the Father through the Son, with the power of the Holy Spirit.
I mean, look at what happens, particularly in this prayer, the prayer and the prayer to the Father to send your Spirit. That's the prayer. That's Christ's prayer to the Father to send the Spirit. on these gifts
right.
to make them holy.
Right.
Yeah, the,
that they will become for us
yes.
the body and blood of
Christ. Of Christ. Through whom we pray,
mm-hmm.
through whom we make this prayer. That's mm-hmm. why you know in all of the texts, there, including the great prayer of praise and thanks, there is that through Christ our Lord, Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We ask this through Christ our Lord,
right.
Amen.
Right.
You know, it is always His prayer, Christ's
right.
prayer, and we pray through that.
Right.
And where else but in the Eucharistic prayer. To see those connections.
Mm-hmm.
This resource, again, that Mary has been reading from, what's the title and the date and the author again for our listeners?
Well, the author is Father Michael Jonkas. The title is The Order of Mass Study Edition and Workbook, and we're expecting to have it out in June.
Again, for those listeners who are familiar with the Lector Workbook, it's very much
similar,
along
right,
those lines.
Right. We have a multiple resources that are available now for the Roman Missal and its implementation. Mary, if you want to just say briefly, you've been working on preparing your parish, and I believe part two is now available to ship. I think we got our samples the other day.
I'm very excited about preparing your parish part two, partly because... James Wickman, who's liturgist at Holy Trinity Parish in Washington, D.C., wrote something that priests and liturgists and liturgy committees will want to use. He goes step by step from Lent until just before the first Sunday of Advent, telling which homilies, the types of homilies to have, to introduce the revised texts of the Mass, which bulletin inserts that LTP has on its website, www.revisedromanmissal.org, which of those to use, which parts of the Mass will go, those homilies will go with which scriptures.
I'm sorry, but this is for this coming Lent?
Yes, for this coming Lent.
As a means
yeah.
of preparation
it's a means for
preparation. For
so he's
excellent.
Got a whole schedule.
Excellent.
And we've been talking about how you can use, you know, the mystagogical homilies of the early church.
Yep.
I mean, now is a great time to really
yep.
bring those
bring
out.
Bring that art
and,
back.
And to highlight all of the scriptural allusions to the actual texts that we'll be using. His schedule of homilies helps people create a whole plan in advance. And it's really a great resource. It's Preparing Your Parish for the Revised Roman Missal, Part 2. Part 1 is also available. If you check out our website, www.revisedromanmissal.org, many of those resources are available for free download on that website, more resources are coming. So check us out also on www.ltp.org or give us a call at 1-800-933-1800.
The one thing that I think this emphasizes, Danielle, and we stated this at the very beginning of this series, huh, to go through the revised new translation of the third edition, and that is this, that again, if all we do in our parishes is make this about just the words,
yeah, we can't do that.
We're missing a key
mm-hmm.
opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
This is more than just about new mm-hmm. words. It's an opportunity for all of us, and so parish leadership, anyone who's listening, an opportunity for all of us to mm-hmm. bring our people to a deeper understanding and appreciation of the liturgy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing that we do all week long is as important as this, gathering
right.
On Sunday as the body of Christ to associate ourselves,
mm-hmm.
Or rather to have Him associate us with His great right. prayer of praise and thanks, huh?
That's not to say that the words that are changing aren't important,
because
no. words form us,
yep.
but doing so within the greater context of the liturgy is going to be extremely important as we kind of go through this transition.
This is the heart of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
This is what gives us our identity as
yeah.
Catholics. This is source and summit, right?
It is.
The center of our lives. And so it's got. We have to take this opportunity to do, hopefully, what we're trying to do here, huh?
Right.
Yeah, to break these texts open and to bring people to a deeper level of understanding. And a lot of it is through even Mary, the things that Father Jonkas is doing in this resource, you know, through making connections,
mm-hmm.
connecting these texts to our scripture, connecting
mm-hmm.
these texts to our tradition, connecting
mm-hmm.
these scripts these texts to our faith.
Right.
So we again these shows are podcasts. They're available on through the LTP website as well as through the Office for Divine Worship's
yes.
website.
Mary, thank you for joining us today. We're excited to have this book out, and thank you for talking about it and highlighting it. And to our listeners, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next month.
God bless.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.